And they have they sacrifice small goats to like whatever gods that they sacrifice.
Why do they have to be small goats?
Because that's the only ones that
are
easy
like
to
adorable
get.
Little Disney goats.
Uh-huh.
Oh shit.
Yeah, and they have little curly horns
okay,
that
don't
curl. Can you say that again? So what you're saying is that gaining weight is an upgrade.
I am saying that. And also I need this, so I'm opening it now. Highball? Sitsaka's money.
Why do you Is the Sitsaka now a new form of like e-payment?
I think Sitsaka is a cryptocurrency now, yeah.
Oh man.
Is it?
Oh man. The cryptocurrency word was dropped.
Oh yeah, I dropped that on there. Good morning everybody. This is Sitsaka, obviously.
I'm Kyle Hagen.
I'm Kendrick Evans. And in the back is Amy fucking
the curse splash in the back.
Yolandra.
Cassandra.
I don't remember what that was.
I feel like I would know this if I listened to the episodes that we could record it.
Or read the title.
Or even did anything.
That requires me to do a thing.
Yeah, that seems a little unreasonable. Good morning, everybody. We haven't definitely not coming off of a hiatus
I
of a long time.
I thought that you would give me shit for saying that.
I know, I do.
Oh, okay.
Hypocrisy!
Hypocrisy! Hypocrisy!
That's going to be a soundbite right there. So I keep accumulating those.
So, like,
if you haven't seen it yet, I'll tell everybody.
That's a good idea.
If you haven't seen it yet, we've got a goofy soundboard. I'll put a link to it in the description. I'm going to put a link to it. I want to put a link to it from the Ethernet site because it's currently on my other site right now, my Bad Wolf site.
Okay.
But I'll put a link to it. I'll figure it out somehow. It'll be on the Ethernet. It'll be like wacky, fun soundboard, fun time, sexy.
From
like
all the episodes we've done.
Yeah, I basically just started pulling out sound bites of goofy shit. You can download them. You can play them
on
your phone. You can
if you find one,
shock
though.
A stranger.
If you find one, though, specifically the one where I say, science! Tell Kendrick what episode that's in so we can pull it out and put it on the soundboard. Charge
Kevin.
To you.
Yeah, Kevin.
Just charge to his overworked schedule.
You can charge it to my time machine.
Time machines. So cryptocurrency is a thing that you mentioned, and that's kind of funny because it's like it's now the thing.
Not by the time this episode comes out.
Yeah, by the time this episode comes out, every creator of cryptocurrency has sold off all of their cryptocurrency to someone else.
I think that's actually already the case, but yeah.
But didn't like the Bitcoin guy just sell off like all of his Bitcoin?
The guy who invented Bitcoin is still like a stranger, last I heard. Like he's still a mystery. I don't really know who he is. And I don't think he owned a whole lot, but I did just watch a video about Bitcoin that I haven't really checked the sources on, but it's a guy that I didn't expect to talk. It's a machinist guy who was talking about Bitcoin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The one that's like, go fuck your hat.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you want to hear an interesting talk about Bitcoin, there you go. I'm not sure if all the stuff he said is true, though, because some of it is unusual to me, and I was kind of surprised, but...
it's like Bitcoin is your soul.
Well,
and you're
was,
like, whoa,
how did like
my soul get trapped in Bitcoin?
Cost per transaction.
I think for the sake of me, I need you to explain why Bitcoin has value. Like, you have to mine it, right?
Well, okay.
Like, just that simple act of, like, because you have to do something to get it, right? You don't just have it.
No.
It doesn't exist.
Yes.
I thought you had to, like,
yes, no.
Enter codes, and if the code is good, then you get the coin.
Yes and no.
Okay.
So, why cryptocurrency has value is...
I guess I just want to know more about how you get a Bitcoin then. I know why it has value because people believe it's valuable.
Right, okay. That's good because I feel like we did that already. Bitcoins are created...
Or is it Bitcoin's cash?
I think the actual bit... There is a Bitcoin. There is an actual discrete coin.
Oh, okay.
And then there's fractions of it you could do too. But a Bitcoin is the... I think it's... technically the solution. It's a hash code that is the solution or the result of an equation of a specific set of numbers, basically.
It's
like at the high level.
So
when you're mining, you're just chunking through all of these equations to try and find one that
gives you
the correct that
or
gives something that is a coin.
Some fraction of a coin.
A full coin. You'll only ever get a full coin.
Okay.
So as the people mine more and more, the number of available coins goes down because there's only so many that satisfy whatever the blockchain equation results in.
So is every cryptocurrency defined by the solution to an equation, or?
I don't know about any other cryptocurrencies, but I know they're all similar if they use the blockchain. They're all at least similar in some sense in that they are algorithms that you have to continually solve until you get one, and then you know what it is by getting it.
This is why math is important, kids.
Yeah, it's kind of like prime numbers. You couldn't know one is unless you try and figure it out.
But there's an infinite amount of prime numbers.
There is, but they get harder and harder to find as you get bigger and bigger, right?
I mean, yeah. But
so they're very much like prime numbers.
But there's a finite amount of Bitcoin, right?
There is. Well, there is, definitionally. I imagine you could continue convolutions of the algorithm somehow, but there is a set number of Bitcoin.
They split it, I guess, the currency, into Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, which is why I was making that joke earlier.
I hadn't heard that.
I guess they did it, and you're like, okay, now this currency split, and I assume it's like a stock splitting kind of.
Where I hadn't heard that. It must have happened while I was away. I have no idea what that.
Luckily for me, Philip DeFranco does a lot of Bitcoin informational stuff on his like daily podcasts, what he does, or his daily video casts that he does, because he's invested in cryptocurrency, so he's kind of informing you as to any new developments in the cryptocurrency market, which is like not telling you where to invest, just telling you when a new coin comes out or what's happening with the current stuff.
Right. I guess I'd have to look into that. I didn't know. I haven't really been keeping a close eye on it because, to be honest, I don't understand it, so I don't really trust it.
Well, all I know is that if you had like one Bitcoin like a year ago, you have a lot of money right now, or you had a lot of money right now.
Well, you have a lot of value. I don't know who's cashing those out at those rates. So
everybody.
So the real trick with all those things is that.
It's not very liquid, then?
It's not very liquid. Okay. You have to go
somewhere.
It
can't be, because it's digital. All right, I'll see myself out.
It's...
I wish you had an opening the door sound effect.
I probably put one in there, depending on how drunk I am.
So you will put one in there.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go out of my car, and I'll put the thing in there, and I'll make a recording of you opening the door, and then I'll...
How did Kendrick die? It was something about recording a sound bit for a podcast. Yeah. I don't know.
No, it's a currency in that some places will accept it, but I'd have to go look again. Again, I mean, I've been out of it for a little while because I'm just gonna stay in this lane.
Good idea.
Don't want to put my car in this Dodge though. I don't know what's happening with it anymore, but I looked, there were places that were accepting it as cash, like as tender.
Yeah, like Steam was, and then they stopped.
Yeah, see, if they stopped, then that's bad. I know Newegg was.
Oh, or maybe it was a different type of cryptocurrency, but I don't know. Anyway, cryptocurrency is interesting in fluctuating market. It feels a lot to me like a day trading phenomenon thing where like you could make a lot of money off of it if you were in it before, but now people are going to get into it thinking they can make money off of it and not make any money off of it.
Right.
Get really bit butthurt about it, and then that's going to make the market toxic and et cetera.
Bit butt hurt is my new is the probably the title.
Bit butt hurt. So we often talk about anything else in the Bitcoin world, because I had something I wanted to say and I think it's funny and I think
just
that
go for it,
you'll
man.
Enjoy it. Okay. So your girlfriend kindly lent us or me a book called From a Different Point of View, and it's a book that covers the story of the first Star Wars film, so number 4. Star Wars A New Hope.
Right, the first movie, the fourth one.
Yeah, the first fourth movie. And it's basically a series of a ton of short stories about characters as they go through The New Hope, but not the main characters. So it's like...
The janitors.
It's like a stormtrooper on the Tantive V, and it's General Remus, the guy who... Or General Antilles, the guy who was the captain of that ship, and then you find out about Jawas on the Sandcrawler, and it's all from a different point of view, and they kind of intersect with those stories. One of them we were listening to the other day is about a mouse droid, which are those little black guys on the Death Star, little black those like black slave
the
guys.
Black, the little African American.
The droids. Little square droids that run around and they're really fast, and Chewie scares one, right?
Yes.
And he does this thing because it's actually a very interestingly written story, because it's done in the form of as if you were looking at the robot's logs, really, because it's like 1563, voice command. Well, it kind of gets annoying a little bit, but it's actually kind of interesting because it's a new way to tell a story. But at one point, like, the robot's analyzing what someone says, and he's like, voice response, voice capture initiated, and someone says something, and he's like, syntactical analysis needed. rhetorical, no response necessary. I want to start saying that to people when I don't really want to respond to what they say. So if you're like, oh, like, what did you do this weekend? You're like, syntactical analysis.
Rhetorical.
Rhetorical. No response needed. And then just continue on what you're doing.
Turn around and walk away.
And like, people are like, oh, what is he doing? Maybe some bit. And you're like, you're just being a total dick and just turning around.
That does sound like you. Yeah, our license plate is the devil in front of us.
Yeah, every number that has six in it. Oh, God, it is a devil. But anyway, it's a cool book. I would suggest it if you like Star Wars stuff.
Devil,
so that was a mini review of that book. There's some stories that are kind of annoying, but most of them are pretty sweet.
Yeah, I seem to recall Kate talking about that. That's the thing about short story collections in general, though.
This goes perfectly.
It's like a box of chocolates. Some of them have turds in them.
Yeah, but like, you never really have to invest that much time, so it's like you just spit the chocolate out. Like, or you can just finish the chocolate and then eat another one you like.
Yeah.
Which is this is why it's a perfect analogy. That's why I typically love short stories, because it's hard to go wrong with the short stories.
Am I recording right? It's the solid light, right?
Yeah, you're good. There's a series of short stories set in the Tolkien universe called For the King or In the Name of the King that are all written by like other authors, but they're all kind of fantasy.
Huh.
And it's really cool because it's a bunch of fantasy short stories that Tolkien like picked that he wanted in this book.
Huh.
It's pretty interesting.
He picked them?
I think so.
That's
cool. I think it was a while ago. Somebody picked them.
Good.
And they had a Tolkien.
Came out
last
year. Tolkien picked it. I don't think that's true.
It's like Biggie and Tupac. They're dead. Air quotes, because I can't see what I'm doing.
I think that now you're not even actually doing it.
No, because they wouldn't have known that. Thank you very much. I don't have to move, okay? We're recording a podcast.
Finally figure that out. 100 whatever 100 episodes.
100 blah in. Episodes later.
No one can see us.
But it goes perfectly into what I wanted to talk about a little bit today, which was my inability to be critical of things that add to canon that I enjoy.
Interesting.
So I say there's stories I didn't like out of from a different point of view, right?
Yeah.
But what it really means is that I wouldn't, like,
Fonda
I just...
is slowing down.
I don't hate them. I just would be like, oh, that was okay. But you find other people that are critical about things like that. Like, this story didn't give me what I needed about this character and blah, 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 blah. I find it nearly impossible to personally be overcritical of anything that adds to canon that I enjoy the mythos of. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I can't figure out what it is, because I could totally sit here and...
You love that universe
out,
so much.
I just don't care who's writing and what's building. It's just, it's all there. It's all fun. It's all interesting.
I've reached a point, I think, as far as canon is concerned, where, especially after the whole Star Wars schism thing, I kind of reevaluated how I think about that stuff and took a big step back, and now it's just all whatever. I don't care anymore.
You don't care about reading it, or you just don't care about it?
I think it was the Marvel movies, actually, that did it for me, where it was like, well, this isn't how the comic book went. It's like, no, because it's not a comic book. That's a movie. They're different things. Comics are not movies.
But it's interesting, because if someone started, like, the Dark Knight movies, right? So you have a very good juxtaposition there of two different forms of, I guess, fuck it, you have tons of different forms of Batman that are in video or movie form,
you do.
Right? And
they're all Batman.
And I don't feel like you have to only tell one story with a single character.
I agree, right. And I think it's ambitious to make one universe that everybody shares, but at the end of the day, you're never going to pull it off. This is not possible.
Yeah, and so basically, you have to let, I don't know, you don't have to do anything.
Well, I mean, like, here's the thing, TV shows like Star Trek, long-running shows like that, or Doctor Who, have shitloads of plot holes in them. And inconsistencies, and, you know, character changes, and they're written by teams of writers. Even shows like Battlestar Galactica, and it's not even sci-fi, like How I Met Your Mother, and those sorts of things are written by teams of writers, and they have things like show bibles. Firefly's another one. This one too. Quite a few people wrote for Firefly. They have these things called show bibles, right? And they don't usually publish those. Sometimes you can get a hold of them, and they're super cool, because it's things like. Captain Picard must never blank. Must always blank. He can't ever say this. He must always say that. Like, different, like, elements of the character that are considered canon by the people who own those characters. we don't really, I mean, you,
but that's, but see, even with that, that's self-contained to that series.
Exactly.
Right? So if they made a different Enterprise, or they made a different The Next Generation that was like a remake,
yep,
they could redo the Bible.
The movies come out and those are different, yeah, and the books come out and those are different, and the audiobooks come out and those are different. So
not usually. Audiobooks usually aren't different than the books.
No,
that
no, I mean,
from,
there were radio broadcasts. Oh, okay, they were like audio adventures that weren't audiobooks. Sorry, I should have said
audio ventures. They were radio like this podcast.
Whatever. Yes.
This podcast
way
is
better.
Audio venture.
But the thing about it is, even then, you have inconsistencies in Picard's character over the course of the series, right? So, like, just as an example, and it's throughout everywhere. There's all kinds of things where, fine example for Star Wars where they screwed the pooch hardcore. What the fuck is Stormtrooper armor for? No two writers can agree on what it does.
But they can agree on what it's made of and how it's made.
Not even that, because they either they don't talk about it or they don't necessarily agree on that. Like, it's not well contained. As a result, you have these wildly inconsistent
things.
Where
is that from? Like, why is it not well contained? Like, what makes you say
that? Well, like, Kate's reading a book right now where somebody takes a blaster pistol and shoots a Stormtrooper in the face, in the helmet, killing them immediately. And it's like, they shouldn't be able to do that because it's supposed to be able to deflect or absorb blaster pistol, like light blaster bolts. That's the whole point of it. And then later on, like...
see that same thing happen in Force Awakens. Poe hits that dude in the chest and Finn wipes the blood on his face and you're like, what the hell? Like, how did that blast through his, like...
Oh, yeah, and that's where even in their own series they don't always follow the rules.
I guess I'm just saying that's an example of how it does not resist to all blaster fire.
But. Well, that's what I mean, though, is that's where you have to start making these contortions, because what they talked about is they're not resistant to heavy blaster fire, which a lot of things emit heavy blaster bolts. Like, Han Solo's pistol is technically a heavy blaster. Yep. But... it's highly illegal, and it's heavily modified, and he shouldn't have it. Yeah. He's basically got a Desert Eagle. Like, not even. He's got, like, a fucking 50 cal BMG pistol that he's toting around. That's what he's basically carrying in
the
universe.
You can almost, like, in any of those scenarios, you can almost just assume that the protagonist has a modified weapon.
Precisely,
that
but
will
I didn't want to get so into like, that rabbit hole too much. All I'm saying is that there isn't a policing agency here. There isn't really a good rule set. So, as a result, you end up with no really solid, like, canon is cool and all, but it's never going to be perfect, because especially something with Star Wars where you've got hundreds of people writing it.
I'm not even talking about inconsistencies necessarily. I'm talking about, you bring up a good point. Like, that is a good point. Inconsistencies are abound, and especially in these giganto universes, it's nearly impossible for someone to not use something as a plot device.
Well, and what I mean is it's not just plot device and armor as an inconsistency. I mean character development and those things that people are like, it didn't work, I didn't like this story because blah, blah, blah. It's usually because it wasn't a version of Han Solo that they liked, or it wasn't the way that Leia should have acted that they liked.
Oh, yeah, it's a different author's interpretation of, like, that character. And I don't know. There's some people get really critical about Palpatine's act, or I'm sorry, there's an individual I know, Tyler, who's very critical of Palpatine's actions in the Aftermath series that Kate's reading right now. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to me that's the sticking point.
It's funny what people associate as, like, Palpatine-y actions or Leia-y actions. There's a book I think Kate was talking about some time ago where it's something that Leia did, and it was like, this is dumb. Why would you do that? And it's like, well, I don't know. The writer wrote it that way. That's why. I mean...
he needed to tell a story and choose the character. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's where you run into those things. And then you've got things like the Jedi Prince series, which we just probably shouldn't ever talk about again.
You can talk about... I don't like that either. Like, just because it's not, like, considered to be main canon anymore or whatever.
No. That one was always a weird one. Like,
oh,
it was never
that was
really...
the Hutt Jedi one?
That's the one with the one-eyed son of Palpatine, who then has a brother who's also a Cyclops, and they're both powerful Force users.
Sweet.
And it just goes off the fucking rails. There's a robot Leia.
Sweet.
It just goes...
life model decoy.
It goes into, like, what's happening?
That sounds fun, though, to me. It sounds like a really interesting arc that you would never consider... like
it is, but it's also not very well written. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's like
it
the Flash Gordon
the
of that. I mean, there probably is some really good written Flash Gordon, but the 80s movie is not, like, the best. And so you kind of sit there and you're like, okay, we're going to keep going back to this point because it's all about how you watch and how you consume, right?
Yeah.
Through the window of which you consume and people's ability to change that window mid-consumption, which is a skill that I think a lot of people don't want to or care to develop or care about having at all.
Yeah.
Because if you, like, to me, it's like, how can I enjoy this the best? Not how can I not to sit in one area and then get mad if it doesn't fit that.
I think I'm more just of the opinion that they're all just stories, yeah. And it's not worth sitting down and being like, now, in episode 7, Leia's boots are clearly a pleather, whereas in episode 6, they're actually more like a plastic. Can you explain why this changed? It's like, we lost the boots while we were filming, and we made new boots.
Those are the kind of questions that people get asked at conventions. They're like, I just want to kill myself.
Well, and it's just like, imagine. What's the point? Like, who cares? I mean, obviously this guy cares. I get that. You care. That's fun. But at the end of the day, remember, these things are stories. No one ever... People put way more effort into consuming them than they put into making them these days, probably. Right? So, like, it's just take a step back, enjoy it for what it is. And this is why I really liked the Mad Max series, actually, to be honest. Is he specifically said, there's no continuity. He dies in the end of all of them. Like, pretty clearly dies in the end of the second one. And kind of in the first one. Like, most of them end with him injured, wandering the desert. Like, he ain't gonna make it far.
Yeah, he's probably just not... Yeah,
but
not.
If you ever listen to the director talk about it, he says they're campfire stories. Those don't always have to make sense in the end. Like, yeah, the story, it's a story, and then it's done, and you move on. And no one at a campfire stops and says, now, wait a minute. Well, also, I heard the story about old Billy the Shooter, and it ended differently before.
Nobody's sitting there trying... Well, to be fair, Mad Max, nobody's sitting there trying to, like, run an RPG in Mad Max, or build...
I've seen one.
That'd be cool. I would agree, but I think... The necessity of explanation in that series is low. And the necessity of explanation is something I really want to focus on again after you see The Last Jedi.
Okay.
Which, could be like next year when this airs. So,
it will be.
10 years from now.
Happy New Year?
Sure. Let's do that one later. Because we've totally fucking muffed
it up. You've already heard that one.
Yeah, so keep in mind... That consistencies within our own podcast are low.
We're not internally consistent as human beings. So,
Amy, anything you want to add about canon? Like, do you ever read a story that's
like
part of canon and...
canon and D?
And be like, what the fuck? This isn't what I wanted to read, or this isn't what I wanted for this character.
Not typically. A lot of what I read is one-offs. And then if it's... No. Like, I don't think there's ever been a serial series, except for the ones that I listened to with you, that have branched off of canon and are counted as canon. Everything else is, like, a fan fiction, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, I was going to say, because Amy's in an interesting mindset, this is why I asked her, because she reads a ton of fan fiction, which is all stuff that you would have to be... You'd basically have to throw everything we're talking about on criticism out the window when you're talking about fan fiction, because that would be what we consider the most non-approved kind of canon, where people are just like writing their own stories.
Well, and again, approved, that means there's someone approving, right?
I assume that there is some council from Disney, and whenever someone wants to make an official Star Wars story, they're like, these are the 5 check marks you have to check, right? I think that exists.
I think that there's certainly a contractual thing.
Council. Let's call it a council.
But I don't know for sure if they're actually checking content.
I think they probably have people. They have a Bible, and they're like, "Here's what you can and can't do."
I wonder.
And they have they sacrifice small goats to like whatever gods that they sacrifice
to. Small goats.
Because that's the only ones that
are they
easy
like
to
adorable
get.
Little Disney goats?
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit.
Yeah, and they have little curly horns.
Okay,
curl.
We're probably way over, but I do want to. Oh, it's at 23. Actually,
yeah.
We're good. So
morning recording.
Real quick, I want to say this much: the panic about Disney taking over companies and ruining IP, I think, has been definitively proven to be silly.
Yes,
because the Star Wars movies, I've heard a lot of backlash about this last one, but I don't think you can say it's Disney's fault.
I don't think even more than we saw before.
Exactly. Because the worst Star Wars movies were clearly made when Disney was not in charge.
So, I might have already talked to you about this, but we can save it. Let's save it for lunch.
And again, Marvel, under Disney, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of anything that Disney has EA'd. And,
Wait, let's think about it.
Thank you.
Can you put in the podcast, can you put thinking sounds? Right now?
Like, what would be the...
I don't know.
Like
I didn't...
Game show sounds?
Sure, like... Doo, 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 doo. Well, so now I'm talking
I'm gonna
over
put
it.
The, so. I'm going to put the one from It Crowd then.
Okay. What has Disney done?
What has Disney ruined? I mean, everyone's worried about it. Like, everyone's like, oh, Disney's going to ruin it. But can you actually point to something that they've ruined?
Maybe you should leave it in the comments if Disney's ruined something. Not just for you, but something that Disney has universally ruined for everyone.
Aside from copyright law.
And, like, I mean, nothing, like, stupid abstract like my childhood, because, like, that's a stupid answer.
That's not helpful, because you didn't get a childhood.
We're going to make you buy us French fries for that.
Because childhoods didn't exist.
Shit, really?
What's childhood?
It's a period of the state that I'm in all the time.
Exactly. So we just call it Kylehood.
Kylehood.
It's also I'm gangsta, a new garment gangsta. We'll be selling on the set.
That's actually a good idea for a, like, it's just a hoodie and it's just like it's Kyle.
And
on
you
the
have
hood.
Your face, your beard
like
face.
An oversized hat with your face on
that's
it.
A good idea too. Wow, so many good ideas for apparel.
Yeah, we should do that. We should dissect the
that's a good
logo.
Like the hoodie with a beard on it was a really, really cool idea.
Yeah.
Copyright trademarked Sitsock 2018.
Patent pending.
Intervention. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. Like, comment, subscribe, do all the stuff that
go
you do.
Go buy that hoodie.
Yeah, if yep, do it. Do the thing.
The Kyle hood.